Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Leisure Project. My name is Daniel Varghese, and I'm here today to introduce a segment or a conversation that I had with Erica that isn't exactly timely, but I think it's really interesting. So we got to see Sausage Party about a month ago, right before it came out, and waited a couple of weeks to digest the movie and figure out how we felt about it, and then had like a pretty long conversation about our feelings on the film, which... Yeah, we had some feelings. In any case, we waited a little bit to post this because we just weren't sure if it was timely enough at that point. But this week, we kind of decided that we really wanted to share this with you guys because I think that we brought up some interesting points that I haven't really seen around. So, in any case, without further ado, here is the Untitled Leisure Project.
To the still untitled Leisure Project. My name is Daniel Varghese. I am your host, and I am joined today by none other than the one, the only, the extraordinary Erica Bullock.
Hey guys.
Erica A. Bullock?
Yeah, Erica A. S. Bullock.
A. S. Bullock.
I have two middle names.
Is it Ann Sarah?
Sandifer. Oh. It's my mom's maiden name. Didn't want to get rid of it.
That's nice.
Yeah. Wow, E-A-S-B. People know a lot more about me.
Yasb!
Now.
Yasb! That's great.
Yasb. Yeah.
Well,
it's me.
It is you.
Your dedicated podcast contributor and sometimes reviewer of Walsh Art Gallery showings.
Yeah, you've basically been in every podcast that we've ever done.
Yeah. I'm trying to just have like a far-reaching reign over the podcast world. I'm slowly infiltrating. Just wait.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Thanks, I love it. It's fun. Love talking, so it's great that that's being productive in some way. Hi, Mom, it's me. Glad you're listening.
Well, great. So, well, we have a purpose here.
We do.
We're not just going to talk about you and your podcast experience.
Damn it.
Though I would love to do that. I would love to really get into why this is something that you like doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we
have a better purpose today.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Today we're going to talk about Sausage Party.
Sausage Party.
The movie.
The movie.
Which was released several weeks ago.
Yep.
Sorry. But we're just getting back after a long break and the return to school.
Yeah, it was released on August 12th.
Great.
Wide release. Its runtime is about 90 minutes.
Oh, this is helpful. This is very
helpful.
Sony
Pictures. I'm just giving the background.
It was only 90 minutes long?
Yeah.
That movie felt really long. Okay, so... backstory. Erica and I got to go to a press screening of this movie. We both saw it. And Erica, out of 10, how'd you rate this movie?
I'd give it like a 2.
I give it like a solid 4.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, that's fair. 4, like, 4 is better.
Like a solid 4.
Yeah.
2's
a little too harsh. I hated this movie.
Yeah.
Daniel and I were sitting in this theater. It was interesting. So they had a very nice, happy hour before the showing.
Yes.
So Daniel and I got our very nice glasses of wine.
Just,
we were ready for a classy night.
We were ready for it.
And then we sat down in the theater and had the opposite of that.
We were assaulted by Sausage Party.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of
it. It sounded like the audience was, too.
I don't know. I feel
I heard
like
a lot of like, ooh, ah, you know. But not like fireworks. Like, oh, God.
There was like a lot of laughing, though. Like, people, I think the critical consensus on the movie is like really widely divided.
Yeah.
Like, the dude from the New York Times really liked it.
Yeah.
And I've read like several other reviews that were very negative. And kind of, you know, just like, were very negative. I don't have any other better way of saying it.
Like, should we, like, describe the movie a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I have the Rotten Tomatoes page up.
Awesome.
Some background info. It's an animated film.
Right.
Brought to us by the one and only Seth Rogen. Does he deserve the title of one and
the
only?
The one and...
by
the
Seth
illustrious
Rogen.
Seth Rogen!
That guy, Seth Rogen. it is rated R, and it is the first R-rated... animated film.
Is that true?
I think that's true.
Because I know that there's a movie called like there's like a puppet movie.
I think it's the first R-rated CGI.
Okay,
animated
that
film.
Makes sense.
I'm just gonna do the little plot synopsis.
Absolutely.
This is great. This is a really cute little. A misplaced sausage and his savory friends embark on an existential adventure through the aisles of a massive supermarket in this raunchy animated comedy from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. As the store's annual 4th of July sale draws near, the perishable pals must return to their rightful places on the shelves before the customers come flooding in to fill their carts.
Yep.
Conrad Vernon from Monsters vs. Aliens takes the helm for the Sony Pictures Annapurna Pictures co-production, penned by Rogen, Goldberg, Kyle Hunter, and Ariel Shafferwich. This is from Jason Buchanan at Rovi.
Little bit more
information on Rotten Tomatoes. The average rating is a 6.7 out of 10. On the tomato meter, it has an 82%. And this is counting 152 reviews, and only about 27 of those reviews had said it was rotten. Ooh. Audience score is a little different. Only about 58% of the audience liked it. Average rating was 3.3 stars out of 5.
So here's the thing. That synopsis makes this sound like a really delightful, fun, interesting movie.
It does make it sound delightful,
it's like,
doesn't it?
Oh, it's going to be so cute and punny and like just a silly movie for friends.
And like a silly, kind of vulgar movie for friends.
Yeah, and it was not...
No, the reason we can't form sentences... Daniel and I have been talking about doing this podcast for a while, and the reason we're doing it
as a
podcast versus a written review is we both kind of agree that this topic needs a little bit of a deeper discussion and an unpacking that I think we can only do in a conversation.
Right.
Because it might be harder to do in writing.
My thing is that, like, I can't exactly put my hands in my head around why I don't like this movie. Because there are things about it that I like. Like, the movie is a really interesting thing intellectually to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've talked on the podcast before about how I like the use of animation to get at broader, interesting themes.
Yes.
BoJack Horseman
really
and
like
Rick and
that.
Morty are two of my favorite shows.
Zootopia
is excellent.
A really great
250.
That was like one of my favorites because we were unpacking those bigger issues behind the animation.
And I think that's an awesome thing to do. And one of the many aims of this movie, other than to entertain, is to make a broad, interesting commentary on organized religion. Like, when the foods are within the grocery store, they have this mythology about what happens to food outside of the grocery store and why, you know, what, like, their purposes. And once they're out, they all seem to think that, like, once you leave the grocery store, everything is great for you and it's perfect. And that's what you're supposed to want to do. And, I mean, the obvious reality of what happens to food after it leaves the grocery store is that it gets eaten. And that's, if you're a living food...
sentient hot dog.
You probably don't want to get eaten. Like,
yeah.
That would hurt, and that would be awful, and then you'd die. And so what's really interesting is that when the main character comes to realize that that is the fate outside of the gates of, or the doors of his grocery store, he realizes that everything that was told to him as a child, a sausage, as his sausage self, was a lie, and it was a fiction told to him to, like, placate him, basically.
Yes.
And that's kind of...
Well, can I talk about this for a little bit? Because this is a huge thematic kind of, like, through line in a lot of literature and a lot of films.
Sure.
It's the idea of moving from ignorance to knowledge.
Right.
And I want to talk about this just briefly
for some
background, but this is... loosely based on Allegory of the Cave, which is by the Greek philosopher Plato in the Republic. He kind of sets up this image for his, I think it's a conversation between Glaucon and Socrates.
Okay.
So basically, Socrates is describing a gathering of people who have lived chained to the wall of a cave for their entire lives, and they face this wall and they watch shadows pass on the wall, and they think that that's like real life. And then, so basically the idea is that they're in a cave but there's stuff outside the cave.
Right.
There's stuff happening that they're not aware of. But, he's using this basically to explain how philosophy works. So he's saying the philosopher is like a prisoner who gets to leave the cave and then understands that the shadows are not reality, but are merely like a one-dimensional, piece of reality. So it's like seeking a greater reality. So you see stuff like that in, I don't know, Orwell's 1985. Right. That's a huge thing.
1984.
Or 1984. Oh my God. Ah! Oh no. Wow, that's so embarrassing. But George Orwell's George Orwell's book 1984 is big in there. I think it's in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie where they like go out of the water right. and they realize that, you know, the store that they're trying to get to has all these dried sea creatures
yeah.
in it.
They're like, what? This is horrific.
It's used in video games a lot, mm-hmm. like in BioShock. A huge thing is like breaking outside of your conceived reality into a larger one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a topic that is like really big in literature and film.
Mm-hmm. It's a genre.
It's basically a genre. Like we call it the cave genre.
Sure.
But yeah, so it's huge. And I think that Sausage Party was very smart to pick that
right.
as the theme because it fits very well.
Right. And it's an interesting story. Like the idea is cool. And to use that to talk about something that we're all very familiar with, talk about and shed light on organized religion and maybe to make a commentary that like it is a fallacy and very stupid, which is, you know, a legitimate thing to say and an interesting thing to say because it's not something that gets said all that often. That directly.
Yeah.
That is, I think, like a pretty cool aim. Cool, compelling, potentially interesting aim
and
of a film.
And I think the metaphor of using food in a supermarket is great.
Right, because...
So, yeah, no, sorry, well,
no, because it's you're not, it's one of those things that subverts expectations. You're
yeah.
not expecting the food in the grocery store movie to teach you something about organized religion. And so if it does...
Or about knowledge
or to make broader
yeah.
points about society.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, that's awesome and super interesting and great. The problems with this movie are...
In the execution. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we both agree that we found the vulgarity in this movie and the way it treated its characters over the top. In a way that, like, really diluted and just overshadowed the meaning and, like, message of this movie.
I think
for me,
this could have been made as a PG-13 movie.
Right.
With, like, half of the vulgarity
right.
and maybe eliminating some of the characters.
Okay.
And it could have been an amazing, amazing film.
Yeah.
I think this could have been, like, a groundbreaking animated film.
Right.
A la Zootopia.
Yeah.
I really think it could have.
Okay, why is that? So what did they do that pushed it from, like, PG-13 to R that you think diluted its message and prevented it from actually, like, achieving its potential?
It's interesting that you use push because that's exactly what I think this, like, whole movie was. It
right.
was just, like, pushing so hard
mm-hmm.
for that R rating.
Right.
To the point that any opportunity that the directors, animators, whatever, had
script writers
had to really just nail in something that
yeah.
they would be like, that's R. It was like that was their... It was like the goal of the movie did not line up with the theme of the movie. I think if the goal of the movie had been, let's examine this theme and bring in food and make people think about organized religion, allegory of the cave, stuff like that in this way, I think that would have been great. But I think their objective, it came across to me as though they were just trying to make an R-rated raunchy Seth Rogen film.
Right.
I think it was too fixated on the fact that it was Seth Rogen.
Right.
I can give some examples.
Okay,
I have
great.
Examples.
Let's
I won't
do
just
it.
Rant about my theories.
No, let's
but
do it.
For one, just, like, the okay, so there's a character that is supposed to be a douche, which is a product for women, meant to...
Voiced by Nick Kroll. Who's hilarious.
Yeah. And this douche, as you would assume, is the stand-in for a douchebag person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of like, the stereotypical, and I will say not always true, frat star.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that we're nuanced here.
Yes, obviously.
So, and this douche, he has some weird kind of animalistic desire to put himself into
a woman's vagina
crevices.
Right.
Well, not even just women's vagina.
Well, that's like his goal is
his,
to get out so that he could be inserted into something.
Yes, so his
that's
entire
his
purpose is
yeah.
to be inside of a vagina.
Right.
Which is like, what? I mean, I get it. But okay, but like, here's the thing. And,
yeah.
and this character becomes one of the villains of the film.
Yeah.
And they really play up this douchebag stereotype, so they have the douche... basically rape a juice box.
Right.
There's a scene where he rapes a grape juice box
right.
that I think I almost left the theater when I saw that.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. I moved up in my chair.
It's deeply upsetting.
Yes, deeply upsetting. And I think that's something Daniel and I talked about a lot, is how upset we were by that. But
right, because that is something that was extremely gratuitous and not treated carefully with nuance.
No,
and
especially, I mean, we are on a college campus.
Right.
We're thinking a lot about kind of rape culture and all these sexual assault things coming out. And so for me to see that treated so bluntly and just over the top, and obviously as a way to get people to react
and laugh,
it frustrated me, because I was thinking, like, an animated movie has so many opportunities to do really cool stuff, and also to make that scene a lot less blunt.
Right.
Like, the douche could have, like, ripped apart the juice bag in not a sexual way, and it would have looked like a fight.
Yeah.
It could have, like, bit the juice box on the side and something. So basically, the douche rapes.
Yeah.
It looks like he's having oral sex with the juice box.
Right.
The crack in the juice box is where a human's crotch would be.
Right.
And he then gets juice, so it's like he's on steroids.
Right.
And basically, the douchebag character continues to food rape. I don't know how to say this.
Well,
violate all of these food objects.
And the problem isn't necessarily in the fact that there is a awful character raping people, which is, you know, in and of itself, like, potentially problematic. But, like, also you can kind of argue that, oh, they're making the case that, like, people who rape are bad. And I don't think that's true, but, like, I'm giving an argument. What is most problematic to me is that this whole thing is played off for comedy.
Yes.
Like, the douche, like, rapes a juice box and we're supposed to laugh at it.
The douche tries
to rape a taco and we're supposed to laugh at it.
It's just such a stereotypical portrayal of a douchebag frat star.
Right.
Too, which is surprising.
Right.
To me. But, like, it was just so one-sided.
Yeah.
And I understand it's animation, but I do not think that that's an excuse for the way that a lot of these things were treated.
I agree. Okay, let's talk about
other examples?
Yeah, you want to talk about race in this movie?
Yeah, let's talk about race in this movie.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where to start, but we can try.
One of the interesting things I think about this movie is that, like, we're talking about organized religion. I was talking about organized religion earlier. And the two of the main characters in the movie are a bagel and lavash.
Yep.
And they're supposed to represent people from Israel and people from Palestine. And this is, like, again, something that's, like, pretty interesting that could be used to make a really interesting broader point about Israel, Palestine, whatever. And maybe I'm projecting by expecting that out of an animated movie to get, like, a broader point out of that. But, like, I think they had this whole thing. Obviously, it's stereotypical and silly to have, you know, your bagel be Jewish and your lavash be, like, an Arab guy. And then, but the bigger problem is that each of these characters are just, like, a grossly exaggerated caricature of, like, what a Jewish person is and what
bagels
a
bagels weren't
Arab
even invented
person.
In Israel.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just, like, the bagel is, like, it's first of all, it's Edward Norton, who is acting like a, like, old stereotypical Jewish guy, like, and, like, that's his whole demeanor and attitude, and all of that is supposed to be funny, which is, you know, like, I don't know, I'm very uncomfortable at the idea that we're just supposed to laugh at something because it's Jewish or because it's any specific thing. And then the Arab guy is just portrayed as, like, super intolerant and crazy and, you know, having all these weird ideas about, you know, who should be bombed and whatever. And at the end, there's redemption for both of these characters. In a way that we'll talk about later.
Daniel will look and you'll understand.
In a way
later.
That we'll talk about later if you haven't seen this movie. But, like, it's still, like, the idea that these caricatures are just things that we're supposed to laugh at, that is very uncomfortable for me. A similar thing happened with the taco character.
Oh, God, yeah.
Who is voiced by Selma Hayek, who is this very, like, flowery caricature of a Latina woman who's supposed to be, like, very powerful and that stuff, but
she's stereotyped in multiple ways.
She's stereotyped in so many ways.
A Latin American taco,
right,
which, first of all, groups a ton of people into a food that is just silly. But also, she's a lesbian.
Right. And
she's a taco.
Yeah.
Do you...
Yeah, I get it.
It's just...
Yeah.
And I don't think that's clever.
The
thing is, I don't think that's clever.
Right. That's the thing. It's, like, it's racial humor that is, like, lazy and not... And, like, lazy, not clever, and like, not funny after a while.
It's lazy because I think it is so just, like, flattening
right.
of these groups that I think, especially now, and maybe this is just because we're in college and thinking about these things, I think we're trying to find more nuance
right.
in things that are usually taken as one-dimensional.
Right.
Right? But the thing with this is it seemed to cater to an audience, and tell me if this sounds just terrible, I think it's catering to an audience, expecting the audience to have a much lower standard for, like, understanding
right.
these things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
And I think many people do.
Yeah, I don't know if that, like, in and of itself is fair. But, like, the movie doesn't play to a high standard. Like, it doesn't ask you to be better about how you think about all these issues. It paints in, like, extremely broad brushes, does not acknowledge nuance anywhere, and makes its, like, its characters are caricatures.
Yeah.
Not, like, deep, interesting people who would act rationally and, you know, have this, like, motivations that we can understand.
And I think by making these kind of food metaphors for
yeah.
groups and for types of people,
right.
the movie actually splits its purpose even further.
Sure.
Because I think if you're saying, okay, this movie is about Allegory of the Cave type stuff, organized religion commentary, I think that's really cool. But I think what the movie may not have realized, at least the way I felt, was that
mm-hmm.
it didn't realize that by adding these racial identity-based layers
mm-hmm.
to this, they automatically have to take on more than they intended to take on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a responsibility when you're doing stuff like that to kind of critically examine these stereotypes, and it feels like they just did it for the laughs, like we've been saying, rather
right.
than realizing that by nature of taking that on, they have to really face those questions and
yeah,
them.
Definitely. And like you said, they do this, they pursue this in a way that's super exclusive to a very specific group of people. Or, like, exclusive to everyone who is not within a specific group of people. Like, when both of you... I don't know if this movie was made for people like us. Like, it was made
yeah.
for, like, young, like, women and not white men.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But, like, for me, watching this movie just was very difficult.
Yes.
Because by the end of it, I was like, this... I'm so uncomfortable here.
Yeah.
And...
I just don't even know how to talk about it.
Right, because, like, there's so many things that happen in the movie that I was like, that is not, like, that's problematic, that's upsetting, this is wrong. And, like, it got to the point where I couldn't even, like, try to dissect all the jokes.
Yeah.
Which they were, like, joke density in this movie was, like, out of this world insane.
Oh, my God.
It was
yeah.
so, it was really...
2,000 parts.
Like, in it, to their credit, like, they made tons of jokes, though a lot of the jokes were literally just, like, saying the F word.
Yeah.
And
food puns. I love the food. I liked the food puns.
Yeah.
I thought those were funny, but that's also because I guess I have a low standard for
Well, no,
pun
but like
jokes.
Food the food puns in like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs were funnier.
True.
Like,
that's a great movie. But yeah.
There's a Leak in the Boat is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And then to like pan to a screaming leak. That's hilarious. Like And there was nothing in this movie that stuck with me, like, as much as anything like that. Like, none of the puns in this movie stuck with me as much as any of the puns, like, in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs
yeah.
or anything like that.
And I think also, so I've talked with some friends about this movie,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I find issue with the douche character,
right.
I find issue with the taco character, the lavash and the bagel,
yeah.
and also all the fruits
yeah.
are gay. Like, that's just...
It's,
you know,
it's so lazy.
It's so lazy. But I'll tell my friends and say, hey, I'm kind of frustrated at this movie because we're talking about the movie. And their response is, oh, well, you know, you get what you expect from that film. They
right.
say that, you know, I know what I'm getting. I expect a Seth Rogen humor thing.
Right.
And we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but I'd like to kind of, can we talk about that more right
sure,
now?
Sure, yeah.
Just the idea of someone being justified in laziness, in extreme stereotyping, in battering everything down.
Right.
And by everything, I mean all different identity groups down.
Right.
Because of a precedent they've set with other movies.
Sure.
And Seth Rogen, I think, has had some really good films.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's had some really clever films, but he does have a tendency to do that over the top,
mm-hmm.
just hitting you over the head
right.
with stuff humor.
Right.
And for me, I don't think that's an excuse. Especially
yeah.
when you're making some of the decisions that this team made in making this film.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you, because I think his last movie that I watched, at least, was Is This the End?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I can totally understand how you wouldn't get it. But I thought the movie was really funny. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because it was taking, like, it was taking aim at celebrity culture and the caricatures and, like, how we, the way we look at celebrities is totally wrong, and that celebrities are actually just, like, super normal, but, like, very, very weird people. Like, I thought that was an interesting premise and very funny, and then, like, taking those, like, very strange caricatures of, like, people we actually know exist, and then putting them through the ringer of, like, this crazy apocalyptic scenario was actually, like, very entertaining for me. Mm-hmm. Even though it, like, had a lot of some of these trappings. Like, it was extremely vulgar. It was at least a little bit racist. It was, like, problematic in some ways. But I think, like, when that movie was, I'm looking back at, like, a lot of my thoughts about that movie, and, like, well, about, like, how me and some of my friends, like, responded to that movie when we saw it as seniors in high school, was we were like, oh, this is just, like, a dumb, silly movie.
Right.
And that's, like, what you're saying. Seth Rogen gets to make dumb, silly movies.
He gets to, yeah.
Because he makes dumb, silly movies.
Yeah.
And there comes a point where if your dumb, silly movies are saying, like, very problematic and, you know, bad things, things that I think are incorrect about the world.
Yes.
You should stop. And someone should stop you.
And I think the biggest problem is that this movie did not need all of that stuff to be right. good. Like, it didn't need it. I think that stuff weighed it down and then also negatively charged it
right.
with all of this identity-based stuff. And I know that this conversation might be bringing up stuff about, like, PC culture yeah. and all these things that we're hearing of, like, oh, people are too sensitive, etc. But if you're making an animated film that some people might confuse for something other than what it is,
right.
which is this kind of raunchy comedy thing,
right.
and then realizing that you have to take it to a whole nother extent
right.
to make it an R-rated,
right.
an R-rated animated film,
right.
Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I am usually not huge on the whole PC thing
yeah.
and kind of, like, say what you want, but this just seemed irresponsible.
Right.
And I do think it can be hurtful.
Right, because what we're not talking about, you know, like, we're not saying that, like, this movie should be banned or anything.
No.
Like I believe this movie's, like, you can make this movie.
Yeah.
Like, but it's really important to acknowledge that what is within this movie is very problematic and not good, and gets in the way of what this movie was trying to do, at least, like, in my estimation of what the like, aims of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it stopped being entertaining or interesting because of how vulgar and unnecessary a lot of the jokes were.
Yes. Yeah.
That's my ultimate thing.
Yeah. I think that the theme is really clever. I think it's so clever.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And, oh, we forgot to mention how people notice that food
oh, right.
is sentient.
Right.
They snort bath... Or, no, they inject bath salts.
Yeah, that... Yeah, the
they
one character...
They inject bath salts.
The James Franco character.
The James Franco character
whose
is a
head
drug
was later,
addict.
Whose head was later chopped off.
His head is chopped off. I mean, I think, you know, we were talking about the affordances of animation.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this when we talk about other animated
right.
movies. I just think the affordances of animation in this were abused for not the best reasons.
Right. Yeah.
But again, not saying don't go see it and check it out for yourself. I know there are people who love this humor.
Yeah.
For me, it just feels like more of a detriment to dealing with these issues. I mean, he had such a huge platform.
Yeah.
Animated film can cater to so many audiences. Mm-hmm. Seth Rogen is such a big name.
Yeah.
And I think he abused that platform a little bit.
Right. Yeah. That's what I get very frustrated by movies that say that they're doing one thing or, like, pretend, like, have, like, something very intellectual inside of it that they're trying to do and then put so much baggage on it that, like, you can't, that, like, you can say, like, oh my god, this baggage is, like, horrific to look at, and they can be like, but look at this cool intellectual thing we tried to do.
Yeah.
And you
yeah,
and
no,
you
I think
and you have to be like,
is.
Oh, well, then I guess I have to excuse all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Which is I like, that's very frustrating to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't think you have to at all. Yeah.
Right. And
I think that's the problem we have with this movie is
right.
we don't want to excuse it, but other people say, oh, it's Seth Rogen.
Right.
That's an excuse.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, another point that I want to bring up that can get touchy, but You know, another thing that people will say about movies like this mm-hmm. is, oh, well, it's fine because he's just battering down every single identity ever. And...
Wait, what do you mean? Like, he's...
Like, he makes... It's like...
He makes fun of everyone, so
exactly.
it's okay?
It's like, okay. makes fun of everyone, so right. it's an equal playing field. Right. Like, South Park type of stuff, you know?
Okay,
but,
yeah.
I shouldn't even compare it to South Park. It's, like, totally different. But, the other issue I had with this movie is I think it stereotyped almost everyone except for, like, a like, white American...
Right.
I think the only... things that weren't stereotyped were Frank and his buddies,
yeah.
his little hot dog friends,
yeah,
they and
like,
cereal boxes.
Right, because they were all just like, ooh, we are all, like, different kinds of things. Like,
and they would make some kind of, like, I think they if they were going for anything, it was that the sausages and the buns were kind of, like, fraternity and sorority
right.
guys and girls.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
But it just, it wasn't as intense as the other ones, I didn't think. The humor kind of, for me at least, only came in the beginning when
mm-hmm.
they were talking about, like, size to make, like, penis jokes
right.
and hot dogs.
Right,
and then,
that was, like, kind of funny.
You know,
like,
the buns talking about, like, being prudes and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit, but it didn't reach that same level
right.
to me as some of the other stereotypes did.
Right.
And that bothered me, too.
Right, and then, like, one of my favorite scenes from this movie is the scene, like, at the very beginning where, like, somehow the cart gets knocked over. I don't remember exactly how that happened. Maybe it was something... weird. But then, like, the flour goes all over the place, and, like,
mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a war zone scene.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, really funny and interesting,
yeah,
like, use of cool animation to, like, tell an interesting story, and you, like, Frank, like, wakes up in a daze, and he sees, like, the peanut butter jar, and, like,
oh,
the,
and the jelly,
and the,
that
and
was
the SpaghettiOs
yeah.
thing, and it's, like, oh, that's cool, like, funny, like, also very violent, but, like, that's funny.
Yeah.
And, like, after that point, the movie, like, kind of divulges into just, into... like, leaning in really deeply on all the stuff that was just funny in a less, I don't even know how to say it, in just, like, in like, a more problematic way.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to just reiterate, I really think this could have been made as a PG-13 film and
right.
been 10 times better. I don't think increase in rating necessarily
right.
relates to better movie.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
I think a great comparison, if people listening to this want to see this movie, I would watch it with Zootopia and see
yeah.
how they both tackle really big issues
right.
in very different ways,
right.
and they both do it through animation.
Right. And, I mean, the idea is that, like, this movie is supposed to be made for adults, and so if they want adults to see it, they have to make it R. I think that's so sad.
I don't
sad.
Think that's true. Yeah.
And I don't think it's true. You're absolutely right. Like, but, like, that's the idea in their head,
yeah.
right? Like, that they're if they're
like
trying...
Like, adulthood is not
right.
equivalent to an R rating.
Right.
It just means you can go see those movies now.
Right. And it's very strange to me that, like, it seems like all the, like, important movies have to be R-rated. Because, like, if...
Yeah,
like,
that is a huge trend right now.
Like, and I don't even know if it's right now, like, limited to now. It's just, like, kind of, like, all... Like, most of the Oscar nomination movies tend to be, like, R-rated movies, I think. Maybe
that
I won't say that. That could be interesting to look into.
We might revisit
that. We'll look
that.
Into that. But that would actually be really cool to look into. Because,
but that's a good point. It's like, to be taken seriously,
you're
you
supposed
have
to
be, you know, this is something that I think high school theater gets critiqued for a lot. It's like, oh, you're trying to be adult by using expletives
right.
in your scripts
right.
or in your performances when
right.
they don't need to be there. You're trying to deal with big, difficult topics
yeah.
that are kind of explicit topics.
Right.
And I think you can really get at the core of those issues in different ways. I don't think you have to be over-the-top violent or
right.
gratuitous or expletive.
Right, and there's something to be said for trying to, like, match or display reality. Because, and reality is gritty and dark and has problems and people say expletives in the real world. And so, like, if you're trying to do that, then maybe that makes sense. But this is an animated movie.
About hot dogs.
About hot dogs. And it like, doesn't need all of these things, and all these things get in the way of it getting, like, trying to say its main point. Because, yeah, like, a show like The Wire, where what they're trying to do is make a very, like, they're telling a very interesting, compelling story about drug dealers in Baltimore. Drug dealers in Baltimore use expletives and talk to each other and, like, their life is very gritty and dark and violent. They didn't need to, like, tell that kind of story to show something about organized religion, about the allegory of the cave.
And I don't think
for...
that that...
Food.
Yeah, and I don't think that is making it, like, a padded film.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Right, and it's like, it's not as if they had didn't have any of that, it couldn't have made the same points.
Yeah.
Or like, would have... Look, we're both, like, harping on the fact that this movie would have been better if it just hadn't had the gratuity.
Yeah. Okay, well, so what are the things we... let's end on a positive note.
All right.
What are some of the things that we liked about Sausage Party? Let's try to come up with five each.
Five each?
Three each.
I mean, honestly, some of the jokes are funny.
Okay.
Like, this movie could have been really funny if it just had, like, fewer better jokes.
Yeah.
I thought the final scene, the orgy scene, was kind of funny.
This is an interesting divergence that we had.
Yeah.
I thought the orgy scene was just silly. But then we were talking about it in terms of sex positivity, and
right.
we're like, wow, that's actually a really...
Like, that's, like, kind of interesting.
...great message
right.
to throw in there.
Because, well, like, one of the things about it was that, like, you know, it was very progressive in that, like, there was all this gender fluidity, there was...
Sexuality
fluidity. Like, explorations of things, like...
I mean, good for them, because
right.
food doesn't really...
Exactly. And so there's, like, much less baggage attached to food, as much, like, baggage as they put onto food during that whole movie. They kind of, like, were like, ah, let's just screw it and, like, let them all...
You know.
I'm doing weird hand
motions.
Yeah,
he's just making small circles with his hands right now.
Yeah.
Let's let them all mix up together.
That's supposed to mean sex.
Okay.
And, like, I thought that was funny.
Sex positivity was pretty good.
And that, like, an interesting and nice message, I guess. In that, like,
okay.
regardless
yeah,
of it's okay to, like, people outside of your race, outside of your gender, outside of, inside of your gender, or, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And, like, that's stuff that you can explore and be all right with, and not something that has to be, like, pushed down and, you know, held in your private life. Like,
yeah.
that's something we can explore publicly. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I don't know. What did you like about this movie?
I liked a few things, but the things that I did like, I thought the animation was beautiful. I thought just
really?
The quality of it was really good.
Okay.
So
I kind of thought it was okay.
Okay.
Like nothing wowed me about that movie. Like I was wowed the first time I saw WALL-E.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like,
so maybe beautiful is the wrong word, but I thought the animation was good.
You're right. Like, it has a style to it.
It does,
like,
have a style. They had a very defined animated style,
and I
enjoyed that.
And you're right, and they did, like, cool little things that I kind of noticed. Like, while they were in the grocery store at the beginning, like, all the colors were kind of washed out,
mm-hmm.
Which is something I noticed. And then, like, when he went outside, it got, like, dark, and then the colors just got more vibrant.
I think the quality of the animation was good.
Yeah, sure.
Not so much that they created beautiful scenes from
sure,
it. So I might
sure.
have misused the word beautiful.
Okay,
but the quality was high.
Sure.
I loved the meatloaf pun. There's this scene where Frank the hot dog is trying to go find the cookbook that is basically, like, the book of life.
Right.
And he's hiking through the freezer section, and it's, like, an Arctic tundra, and a meatloaf... as Meatloaf is singing a Meatloaf song.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was awesome. I thought that was hilarious. I also liked, for as much as I disliked the douche character,
uh-huh.
I did think that his fruit puns and food puns were very funny.
Right.
He would say something, and it would have words that could also, well, puns, basically.
Yeah.
And then the food that he was making a pun on would pop out from behind whatever object was in that scene and be like, what? Did you call? I thought that was
a nice, like, recurring funny joke.
So I think, I think some of the humor was great. And I think the theme was good. I think the idea of exploring that big question I thought that was good. The voice acting was great.
That's what I was going to say, too. Like, the voice acting was, like, everyone really committed to their parts.
Yeah.
And there was, like, the movie was better for it.
Yeah. So.
So, overall, like, I mean, I'm still, like, a 4 out of 10.
I'm saying see it, but see it next to something like Zootopia.
Yeah, watch it and then come talk to us about it.
Yeah, but I think it's important to see... Maybe not important to see, but, like, if you want to see it, go see it.
Yeah. See, I'm really interested in, like, finding people that I can talk to who like this movie.
Yeah. If you like this movie,
Why don't
hit
you,
us up.
Yeah, at us.
At us.
Mention us on Twitter.
Mention us on Twitter. Just email the voice general email.
Yeah, editor at georgetownvoice.com.
Yeah, email editor
Kevin
at georgetownvoice.com.
Like,
yeah, Kevin will find us.
You want to say your Twitter handle, Eric?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for listening, first of all, to our thought process.
Yeah, we went long
on
Sausage Party.
That's fine.
We went long. Yeah, which might have been a joke that they made in Sausage Party.
They probably did.
Yeah.
Anyways, so let's get back to reality. Our Twitter for the Georgetown Voice is at GTown Voice. You can also follow Halftime at Halftime GU.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me, if you care to, at Erica A. Bullitt.
And you can follow me at DRVARG01. Special thank you to John Block, our podcast editor, for editing this and all of our podcasts, which you can find online at GTown Voice or Georgetown. Whoa, you
don't
can find
them.
You can find online at www.georgetownvoice.com.
And if you're like not a Twitter person or a website person, but you're a social media person, we also have a Facebook page.
We do have a Facebook page.
It's pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. There is also an Instagram page, which we use less often.
Stay tuned for that.
That's fine. Yeah. Our theme music comes from Ben Sound. You can find this and other royalty-free tracks at www.bensound.com. Pretty good song, right?
Found a great intro from bensound.com for Taste Test.
Yeah, we're big at bensound.com evangelists here.
Yep, here we are. We have brand loyalty.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, please talk to us about this. We care.
At us. We're real serious.
We care.
We scare.
We scare.
Because we care.
Because we care.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.